In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also reminding you, if you order two or more copies of the Anti-Communist Manifesto, you need to go to jessekellybook.com. and fill out the form so you can get your AC pin, your anti-communist pin. There are only 2,000 of them. Yes, they're going extremely quickly, but I want you to wear it if you get it. Where? Everywhere. And when you see someone else with one on, break bread with that person. Have a cup of coffee. Share some fries. Have a beer. Go. Get to know each other. We must be a community. JesseKellyBook.com. Move on to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions really quickly. I want to get to this first, though. John Durham to testify before the GOP-led House Judiciary Committee in June. Now, I'm only speaking for myself here. I'm not speaking for you. But I'm kind of over the whole John Durham thing. I'm kind of over the pretending like anything's going to come of this thing. You did this investigation. You took 9,000 years to do it. We finally got a report dropped 2 years into Joe Biden's presidency showing, yes, the entire federal government is a criminal organization working on behalf of Democrats. And at the end of it, you concluded that no charges should be brought against anybody. I really don't need to hear anything else from John Durham. And I sure don't need to hear the Judiciary Committee interview John Durham. Clearly, nobody's going to go to jail. And many people need to go to jail. Remember what the whistleblower said?
It appears that I was retaliated against because I forwarded information to my superiors and others that questioned the official narrative of the events of January 6th. As a result, I was accused of promoting conspiratorial views and unreliable information. Because I did this, the FBI questioned my allegiance to the United States.
But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you. And your family, if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that.
Yeah. No jail time recommended for that organization. Unbelievable. All right, let's move on. Jesse, can anyone truly turn this Marxist machine in D.C. around by winning the presidency? Well, I'm going to answer this question like this. Have you ever heard of Operation Market Garden? Operation Market Garden. I'm not going to go into the details of it. Don't get excited. But it's a gigantic World War II operation. It was designed to break into Germany. They were trying to break into Germany, which Hitler had fortified. All right, we're talking the Brits, Americans, everybody, right? We're trying to break into Germany. And the saying was, if we do this, we pull this off, we'll be home by Christmas of that year. We're going to get out of here. We're done. Woohoo! Going to break into Germany. And Operation Market Garden failed. We don't like to look at World War II like that, right? We look at all the victories. We accomplished this and we accomplished that. But there were huge things that didn't work in World War II. Huge things that failed in World War II. I heard a statistic the other day, speaking of World War II, that was staggering to me, but it was true. You know, the Battle of Midway. Everyone knows that battle by now. That was kind of the turning point. The Japanese really had intended to take Hawaii and sue for peace. From there, we intercepted their communications. We have this big, huge naval battle at Midway, and it was all good to go, right? And I'm going to screw up the numbers because I'm doing this off the top of my head, but the number itself was amazing. I believe there were 70 or 80 torpedo planes of ours launched at the Japanese ships during the Battle of Midway. I'm almost positive I have that right. Remember, there are generally three different kinds of planes. There are the fighters. There are the dive bombers that go diving in from straight up, drop 500-pound bombs on the ship. And then there are torpedo planes that fly kind of low and parallel with the water and drop a torpedo. All right, that's extremely dangerous. Anyway, of the 70 or 80 planes, torpedo planes that went out, I think the number was 4 that returned. Think about that. Think about how devastating that is. Not just for the pilots, for the unit itself. Hey, how many torpedo bombers do we have left? Oh, none. They're all gone. What I'm saying to you is this. When we think about the presidency, winning that race in 2024, whether it's Trump or Heavy D going up against Joe Biden, when we think about that race, we want to win. I want to win. You want to win. And it's important. I'm not dismissing it at all. It's important that we win that race. It is important. But if we don't win that race, you need to think of the battles we win and the battles we lose in a World War II sense. And this is what I mean. Think about the endless number of battles and theaters and things that took place and failed operations and successful operations, that things that took place in that greatest of all historical events. Would the war have been better for everybody if Operation Market Garden would have succeeded? Of course it would have. Would have ended faster. Shoot, we probably wouldn't have the Soviets in there. We would have taken over. The history of the world may have changed if Operation Market Garden succeeded. But all that meant was there were other battles that still had to be fought, many more of them, and different battles. We are in a battle, you and I. We are in a battle against the communists, demonic human beings, demonic religion, I guess I should say, that wants to burn down the whole world. You want the world to remain good and free. There will only be one victor. But this is a huge war that will take decades. I'm not even going to say years. Decades and decades and decades we will be fighting this war. Your children will be fighting it after you. And I say that knowing there are children listening to the show. There are children after you who will still be in this exact same struggle. It will never be won and it will never be lost based on any one battle. Any one presidential race, any one piece of legislation, any one midterm elections. We have so many battles out there left to fight, and we are going to win so many of them, and it'll be glorious when we do, and we're going to lose so many of them, and it's going to suck when we do, and that's just kind of the way to go. But you want to feel better about it? You want to feel better about it? At least you won't be eaten by a crocodile. There's a story out of Cambodia. 72-year-old farmer. Think about this. Think about living 72 years. I know that may be the case for you, but that's a long life. That's a good life. I would sign up for 72 today. You told me I could have 72. For a Kelly, that's really long. I would take that in a heartbeat. It's a long life. 72 years on this earth. This Cambodian farmer is there, and he is a crocodile farmer. He goes in, feeds the crocodiles, takes care of the crocodiles. There's a lot of them in there, and I mean a lot of them, all stacked up on each other like it's Indiana Jones. And he goes in trying to get some eggs moved around, and one of them kind of snaps at his stick. Long story short, he ends up falling into the watered enclosure with the other crocodiles. And let's just say the crocodiles did not show a sufficient appreciation for all the years he had fed them, because at 72 years old, well, when they found his body, I'll put it to you this way, he was missing both of his arms and one of his legs and was no longer alive. So, see, your problems aren't that bad. At least you didn't fall into a crocodile enclosure. You know what we're going to do one of these times, Chris? We might even do it on Monday. I might do this next week, so don't jump the gun on me. I might do it. We're definitely not doing it tonight, so don't bother calling in. We're going to put up a contest. Not a contest per se, but an opinion thing. Nothing to do with politics. We're going to put up a what's the worst way to die by an animal and why? Because that's got to be on the list, right? The whole crocodile thing. They grab you and that hurts. And then they pull you under the water and that's not any fun. And then they have other crocodiles grab other parts of you and they all start spinning around and they're just twisting your limbs off while you're under the water. That doesn't sound like any fun at all. What, Michael? Oh my gosh. Michael said better or worse than the orca attack. I guess it depends on how angry the orca is at you. The problem with the orcas is they're extremely intelligent and they appear to be vindictive. They appear to hold a grudge. There's a lot of evidence that they have that level of intelligence. They hold a grudge. A crocodile is just a moron. He's just going to try to tear you apart and eat you. There's no thinking there. I think I'd rather be attacked by the dumb crocodile than the orca who has some kind of an axe to grind with me. Eh? That doesn't sound like fun at all. All right. More Ask Dr. Jesse questions coming up in a moment. Just want to play something for you again. Remember that Louisiana state senator who allows children to be mutilated. This is what he sounds like.
I guess I've always in my heart of hearts have believed that a decision should be made by a patient.
Have
and
you
a
got
physician.
Your male vitality stack from Chalk yet? Male vitality stack. You know your T levels, they're dropping to this level.
I believe
level.
In the physicians in Louisiana.
If you don't get a male vitality stack from Chalk and start taking natural herbal supplements to increase your testosterone levels, you're going to sound like this maybe tomorrow.
People that are licensed by the Board of Medical Examiners are well.
Do you want to sound like that? That's coming for you. Or you could go to choq.com, promo code Jesse, get you 35% off subscriptions, and you could sound like me. Do you want to sound like me or do you want to sound
regulated.
Like this?
Regulated. I believe in the scope of...
It can be this or it can be this.
Practice. I believe in the standard of care.
CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Go now.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm never going to get over the irony of this.
Early June is when we project that we will run out of cash, and there is a chance it could be as early as June 1st. Of course, there is a lot.
Man, that sounds dangerous. We're going to run out of cash early June.
And yesterday I announced that the United States plans to contribute another $250 million to the pandemic fund at the World Bank to make sure the world...
Huh. Are we out of cash, or are we sending $250 million? Oh, anyway, let's get back to the questions. Jesse, what are some tips from not getting depressed this Memorial Day weekend? You shouldn't be depressed on Memorial Day weekend. It's okay to be somber. It's okay to have fun, too. Remember this. Yes, it's true. The weekend isn't about hot dogs and a three-day weekend and time off and pool time and stuff like that. However, the guys who died, they would want you to enjoy yourself this weekend, but they would also probably appreciate it if you're sitting by the pool as a family, going out to lunch, grilling up dogs or world famous Jesse Kelly burgers. They would probably appreciate it if you at least had a moment where you talked about them, talked about how great they were or honored their sacrifice or talked about how great America is and maybe took a moment to pray for them or pray for the families they left behind. But you can enjoy yourself this weekend. You don't need to be depressed all weekend long. They didn't die so you can be depressed, all right? Jesse, how many Red Lobster biscuits have you put down in one dinner and how many could you? I think I think I topped out at 5. And let me explain to you why it's my max. I normally try to stick with 2 or 3, but I think I've topped out at 5. The problem is Red Lobster and all these high-end restaurants. With Red Lobster, they bring out the Cheddar Bay biscuits early. And they're so good that if you can't control yourself, and because Red Lobster, they just have a higher level of customer service, before you can even finish the basket you're on, they'll bring you more biscuits, hot biscuits, and it actually gets worse for you people who don't have kids yet and you're planning on it, if that's your thing. It gets worse when you have kids because, oh, Chris, you're going to experience this at some point in time in your life. Michael, you too. At some point, the kids, they're really, really adorable. And if the waiter or waitress, if they catch on to the kids are loving the Cheddar Bay biscuits, they just keep shoveling them down you. You'll never see the bottom of the biscuit basket. But they're so delicious, you end up eating so many, you fill up before your food gets there. So I have a pretty strict rule I try to stick with now. In my 41 years, you develop a lot of wisdom, all right? And this is what I've come up with. You know, I get a salad with my meal. It comes with the meal. I wouldn't order one, so I'm not going to be judged here. I get a salad with my Bud Light. Quit. Anyway, so I get a salad with my meal. Blue cheese dressing. Everyone already knows Red Lobster has the best blue cheese in the world. You have to tell them to remove the tomatoes because that's gross. But anyway, I will have one Cheddar Bay biscuit with my salad and blue cheese dressing before the meal. The blue cheese dressing in the salad pairs very well with the Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits. I then will eat my meal. Remember, the meal is shrimp scampi and Cajun shrimp Alfredo, which is not on the menu, but don't worry. It's a secret Red Lobster menu only me and a couple other guys know about. They can make that for you. Shrimp scampi, Cajun shrimp Alfredo. And then there's only one thing that's not good at Red Lobster. The desserts. For whatever reason, look, you can't be great at everything. For whatever reason, they've never come up with a dessert that's worth anything at all. So you don't ever get dessert at Red Lobster. Oh, they have a key lime pie there, Chris, and it's okay. But once you've had some Texan key lime pie or Louisiana key lime pie or something, anyway, you don't want to get dessert at Red Lobster. So what you do for dessert instead is you have them bring you out another batch of Cheddar Bay biscuits, and you take the Cheddar Bay biscuits and you dip them in the leftover shrimp scampi butter that's sitting there. Now, that's what I have for dessert. Normally, I try to stay with 2 or 3 biscuits total. I've probably maxed out at 5. I think my oldest has taken down 10, though, in a sitting right now. Hey, Jesse, my son is on his way to being a giant like you. Now, I'm 6'2", but he's going to be 6'6 to 6'8". How can I make his awkwardness easier? You know, let me tell you something. We have a school fairly close to our house. It is high school. We have a high school fairly close to our house. And I was driving home yesterday, and this high school kid pulls out in front of me heading to the school. And this kid was, I'm not a car expert by any stretch of the imagination, but this kid was in one of the super sports car versions of the BMW. I don't know what that was. It looked like a $100,000 car to me in high school. And this is all going to come back to the height thing. Just stay with me. And I remember thinking, I try not to judge anyone else's parenting because Lord knows I've made enough mistakes and will make more. But I remember thinking, what kind of a parent buys their high school son a $100,000 car? It's not, even if you can afford it, it's not mentally healthy for the boy to have a better car than everyone else has, to have pretty girls all over him because he's got a $100,000 car. If nothing else, it's detrimental to the child. You're holding him back. Why? I will explain why in just a moment. Before I explain that, let's explain this. You need 3 months worth of food. You don't have it. Or I think you don't. I didn't. If you had asked me before I started obsessing on this stuff, getting prepared, getting ready for what's coming, if you had asked me how much food I had in the home for everyone in the home, I would say, oh, I bet we could eat for a month. Because in my mind, I'm picturing our pantry, right? There's all kinds of cans this and cans that, and we've got the high-end beefaroni, and there's all kinds of stuff. And I was thinking, we're probably set. And so we did an honest assessment. We had less than a week's worth of food. If you put in your mind, no more grocery store, no more nothing, where are you at? It should be 3 months with no more grocery store, no gas station, no nothing. Nobody has that. Unless you've gotten an emergency 3-month food kit from My Patriot Supply, then you're set. Buy it, stash it, please don't eat it, and don't post about it on social media. You don't want to be the guy everyone knows has an emergency 3-month food kit. But they've got them $200 off. They have a special right now if you go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show, and I need to finish my thought, and then we'll move on to more of these Ask Dr. Jesse questions. The guy asked, he said, hey, my son's tall. He's going through a really awkward phase. He's going to be mega tall. And this, I think this is probably going to apply to all of us here. And I was ranting about this high school kid I saw yesterday with brand new BMW. Looked brand new to me. Looked expensive. Driving it back to high school. And how that's unhealthy. But why is that unhealthy? Well, life isn't supposed to be all good and all fun. And if it is all good and all fun, it will turn us all into terrible people because perspective is what makes a good person. When I look back at the very difficult times of my life, or the very difficult is probably too far. When I look back at the times of my life that were definitely valleys and times that where I certainly didn't have it all, I don't look back and think, wow, that was awful. Now that may be part of it, but I look back and think, man, that really helped give me some perspective on life. One of the most common compliments we get to the show is that I sound like I'm one of you. Well, that's because I am. That's my first car cost $600. This is how I grew up. I'm glad I had a car that stalled out at the main intersection in town. I'm glad my parents weren't made of money pouring brand new BMWs on me. Not because I didn't want to drive a brand new BMW and pick up all the hottest dimes, but because you should go through an awkward phase where you're a dork. You should go through an awkward phase where people are making fun of you for the car or the pimple on your nose, or maybe you got too fat, or maybe you can't play basketball like all your friends do, or maybe these tough times should happen. They're important. They help give you perspective. They help grow you up. All of us need it.
I have, maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. Maybe older and wiser. I've grown to appreciate the hard times more because when I look back on all my other ones, I realize how much I grew during those times. You don't really grow or get to be a better person when everything's going well because there's no motivation to do so. You've probably had those times in your life too, right? Maybe you're in one right now. Maybe you got, maybe marriage is working out well, or you just met some dime and you love her, or you just met some dude and he loves you and you're going to get married and work is going okay and family life's good. No one's really unhealthy and your car doesn't break down anymore. You got a new enough car that your car is fine and everything's fine. That's good. I'm glad you have that, but you're not growing because people grow when they have to grow. That's all there is to it. All right, Jesse, totally disregarding the left's interpretation and execution of diversity and just thinking of the concept in a vacuum, do you think diversity is a strength? Well, I guess my thoughts on it, while being horribly offensive to everyone, are going to kind of be mixed. And this is what I mean. I do believe in diversity of perspective because I think it helps grow, and diversity of talents. Like talents, like the show, like this is a great example, the show here. Michael can do things that I can't do and probably Chris can't do. Chris can do things that I can't do and Michael can't do. I can do things they can't do. I don't need Chris or Michael to sit down and talk behind the microphone because I already have my sultry voice to do that. But they can do things that I could never do. So I don't need two producers who can talk into the microphone. I can do that. I need producers who are going to track down stuff and do all kinds of video and audio stuff and put together all the podcasts and do all the technical nerd stuff because I can't do any of that. So when it comes to diversity like that, I believe that that is necessary. But that is where it stops for me. I don't care about diversity at all, even a little bit. I don't care about it at all unless it's possibly necessary for the job. This is what I mean. Let's say in law enforcement. Now, I personally, I don't like how often it's a female cop out there getting ragdolled by some criminal. That said, cops will tell you domestic violence or domestic disturbance situations are some of the most deadly situations you can go into as a cop. You're in someone else's home. Tensions are high. Even if they're mad at each other, they love each other. You don't know who's got a gun. You don't. It's a dangerous situation for cops. And the cop friends I have will tell you, oftentimes it's critical to have a woman's voice in there speaking to the woman, understanding what the woman sees, understanding a female perspective. In my life, I will lean on the wife on occasion for things when it comes to work or career or friends and things like that, because she has a woman's perspective and a woman's intuition, and that's different than mine. I didn't say better, did I? I don't do that. Oh, women are these saints and men are so stupid. I friggin' hate that. But she does have a different perspective that is valuable. And I give her a perspective, a man's perspective, that's valuable. But it depends on the mission. Like for this show, what is our mission? Our mission is to make your day better. That's it. Hopefully we can have some fun for 3 hours. Maybe I can inform you, you can inform me. We have a good time. We know we're not alone. Maybe a couple laughs, squeeze in a fart sound or two, and we check out. Now, I don't need diversity when it comes to men and women to put out a show like that. Even though, by the way, we do have women who work on the show, just not here in Houston with us. I don't need any more diversity in the studio. That doesn't add me to the show. I don't need to add, how many Asian Pacific Islanders do we have? Do we have enough black people? We need to get some gays in here. I don't need that perspective on the show. That doesn't add to the show. I do not believe at all. If say I'm a company or a corporation, I don't believe in diversity at all. In fact, I flatly reject it because every time you put in diversity, it inevitably comes with a diversity quota attached to it. And then that means you're taking away talent and you're taking away merit. It's why I ranted and raved about women starting to be integrated into the infantry units. And then you would say things like this. You'd hear people say things like this all the time. And maybe you've said something like this. You'll get people who say, well, Jesse, I don't have any problem with women joining the Marine Corps infantry as long as they pass all the steps and tests, and as long as they meet all the standards. Yeah, but that's naive. They're not going to pass all the tests. They're not going to meet all the standards, because I don't need a new study to tell me women are smaller and weaker with less muscle mass, less muscle capacity. Their shoulders aren't built the same way. God made us different. That's one. And two, the second you allow them in, it will come with a quota attached to it, because that's just the way human nature works. That's the way human nature works. If I stood up tonight and I said, you know what? We're hiring somebody and we want to get more diverse. Well, am I going to pass over the next talented white guy because I wanted to get more diverse? No, I don't care what color the next guy is. I want the best guy there is. Diversity, whenever you make that any kind of a priority, you're not strengthening yourself. In many ways, you weaken yourself, because you guarantee that diversity itself will end up being the goal instead of the mission being the goal. I do not view diversity as our strength. I think that's a ridiculous concept. Unity is our strength. Unity is where we thrive. All right, we're moving on. Somebody's mad. Some lady's mad that she says Hispanics aren't learning English when they come here. We'll talk about that. Someone wants to know why Trump won't talk about the Fauci stuff. Why he won't talk about that in a different way. Someone wants to know, a local race, how do you get involved? What do you do? What should you do? What shouldn't you do? We're going to talk about all these things still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show and much more. Before we get to that, let us get to this. Let's get to saving a baby's life. I got this wonderful email earlier. I can't find it right now, but the guy was talking about his wife was pregnant, and now every single time they go in for an ultrasound for her, they're going to give $28 to preborn to give an ultrasound to a woman who's thinking about having an abortion. She will hear the heartbeat. She will choose life. But tell me that isn't one of the coolest freaking concepts ever. On top of giving in someone else's name, you know, your mother or your father or your pastor or your sister, whoever it may be. What if everyone who got an ultrasound gave $28 that day to preborn and gave someone else an ultrasound too? That mom, second she hears that heartbeat, she goes from being a scared young girl with a clump of cells inside of her to a mom with a baby to protect. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show, and we will get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions on Friday. I don't know if it's a question or a statement or what, though, about the Biden family. We've talked about this before on the show. There are things, obviously, that are more important than work. A lot of things are more important than your career, aren't they? And family's one of them. Okay, the Biden family has some problems, clearly. Hunter Biden has some serious problems, clearly. At some point in time, Hunter Biden got a stripper pregnant with his child. She had the baby. That is an innocent girl. That is Hunter Biden's daughter. It is. That is Joe Biden's granddaughter. It is. And this is not one of those allegedly things. Hey, we're still waiting for some tests to come out. Oh, this person accused this. These are things we know now for a fact. The only thing they're haggling about now is the child support payments. These are things we know for a fact. And whatever you think about Hunter, or whatever you think about that young lady's mother and her old profession, that doesn't change the fact that Joe Biden has a new granddaughter. He does. That is a fact of life. But Joe Biden
Joe Biden went to, well, the LSU women's basketball team went to the White House today. I'm not surprised you missed it. But they went to the White House earlier today. This was a couple hours ago. And Joe Biden said this.
At any rate, thank you all again for your patience for being here. Look, there's an awful lot to be proud of. And the way in which women's sports has come along is just incredible. And you're changing the name. And it's not just in sports. It's across the board in every single thing. And it's really neat to see since I've got four granddaughters. We had some pretty good athletes. I wouldn't have been.
Joe Biden has five granddaughters. That's not an opinion. That's not a right-wing talk radio opinion. That is a fact. Joe Biden has five granddaughters. They won't hang a stocking for her over the fireplace at the White House. They were all proud to hang up stockings for all the grandchildren at the White House, and they put it up for a photo op, and they left hers off. And he speaks about that girl as if she doesn't exist. And I'm not naive. I know that there are plenty of children. Maybe you have some yourself that aren't convenient at the time. There's a screw up. I understand life is ugly and messy, but what kind of a soulless monster just abandons her and acts like she doesn't even exist? Imagine already that child probably, I don't want to make any judgments. I don't know. I'm not there. Probably does not have the best upbringing so far. You can guess that that's not passing any judgment on anyone. Just, I think we can probably assume that. And her own grandfather, who happens to be president of the United States of America, regularly publicly disavows that she even exists. That's so freaking lousy, man. I'll tell you what. Let's get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I'm grossed out. We have more Bud Light news, which we'll get to next hour, by the way. Why do Hispanics think they don't need to learn English after coming here? This lady says, well, let me push back on that just a little bit. Now, maybe I'm tainted, but allow me to push back on this. I live in Texas. And Texas is a little bit different than the rest of the country, and that our Hispanic or Latino, whatever you want to call it, population, because of the history of Texas, you know, Mexico has it, we have it, and they have it, and we have it, and we have it. The cultures are merged and they're one here. I would honestly say half of the cowboys I know are Mexicans. They're just Texas culture. It's Texican culture. Texas culture and Mexican culture, they're linked. It's very unlike any other place I've ever been, from California to Arizona, to anywhere. Not that there aren't crossovers, but there's oftentimes those communities are very, very separate in other places. It's not that way here at all. And when Texans go other places, they will comment on it. It's weird. It's not like that here. So because of that, and because of my experience in the Marines, where we were in there with Mexicans and Guatemalans and El Salvadorians and Puerto Ricans, and we were in there with so many different Latino cultures, that I'm just used to being around people who speak Spanish and things like that. So maybe my point of view on it is tainted. I will tell you this. It does bother me when you're here, wherever you're from, and you cannot speak any English at all. It bugs me a lot. You know why? Because it shows a lack of caring and effort. Unless you just got here. I don't expect you to step off the banana boat and immediately be able to start talking. But English is the language of the nation. Start learning English. So I will admit it does bother me, but most of the Latinos I know speak English very, very, very well. There are always going to be some turds who don't bother. Maybe they're temporary workers or whatnot. And because so much of the country has browned now because of the endless amounts of immigration from Central, South, and Mexico. Chris, what? Did I say that wrong? Is that not? Wait, I'm not allowed to say browned? I don't know all the words. Okay, whatever. The country's gotten browner. Anyway, because of that, there are now huge portions of society that really are like a little Mexico type place, meaning if you come here, let's say you came here from El Salvador and you only speak Spanish, you can exist, depending on the kind of life you want, you can exist really for most of your days in a Spanish-speaking only environment. I've been to plenty of those places. You ever been to McAllen, Texas? You probably haven't, but we go dove hunting down there. It's right down on the border, McAllen, Texas. We did actually some construction work down there, too, back when I was in construction. There are huge parts of McAllen. It's something I think crazy, like 80-some percent Hispanic, but huge parts of McAllen, I mean, it's Spanish on the signs. It's just Spanish. If you were a person who didn't speak English, and let's say you're working construction, and wife, kids, whatever, they live in McAllen, and you're happy in McAllen, that's where you want to live, and you want to go to work, construction, come home to the wife and kids, you don't have to learn English. The Mexican restaurants you go to, they all speak Spanish. When you go buy a car, I remember they have Mexican auto dealerships down there where the signs are in Spanish. You can live without speaking English there. So I guess maybe I just made a big fat excuse after saying it annoys me, but I get it. I'll put it to you that way. I get it. Now, I get that. What I don't get is what the reason exactly is you haven't switched to Pure Talk yet. Because when I say they have the same 5G network as one of the big guys, I mean it is the 5G network one of the big guys are on. When I say your bill will get slashed, your bill will get slashed. Mine got cut in half. When I say Pure Talk's CEO is a veteran and they love this country, they love this country. They've proved it. They're actually working with veteran suicide right now. And it takes 10 minutes on the phone? All you have to do is dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. 10 minutes on the phone. You even keep your phone number. Why aren't you switching? #250, say Jesse Kelly. Now's the time to switch to Pure Talk before June comes and then you feel really guilty. All right. Someone's mad about Trump not admitting that Fauci was a screw-up. Why? I'll tell you why. Hang on.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.